This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah.
We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Let's go! Baby, come on in here. Get comfortable. This is our last show of the week. We welcome you in here for the Thursday, May 25th edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
Acknowledge me!
He is our ESPN 1320 Kings insider and creator of the Kings beat, James Hamm.
Acknowledge me!
Talked to our man, Kenny Caraway, this morning. He'll be back with us on Tuesday. Excited that James has put up with me for virtually an entire week. Also, let's go ahead and let these air horns fly, because I made Jesse come to the all staff meeting today because I got an insider tip that Jesse would be named Employee of the Month today.
Oh yeah!
And so this is in fact D-Lo, James Hamm, and the company's most valued employee, our man Jesse Tapia, who hated every second of what happened when they acknowledged him as the
Is there going to be a plaque on the wall with this
there
picture?
Will be, yep, and he does not appreciate this at all.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't even realize it, too, because like, we were just doing the clapping thing, right? So everyone's just clapping. I'm clapping, too, and they put the screen on. I'm clapping or whatever, and I look at the screen. It's like, oh, that's my face on there. So I was like, oh, I should probably stop clapping. This is weird.
I hope they took a picture of you right then, like when you're looking like, what the?
Well, what was fun, about a week ago, like a week or two ago, Kimberly, the executive assistant to the Stars, was like, hey, do you have any pictures of Jesse? And I was like, with us? Like, yeah, we've got several. No, like, just of Jesse. No, I'm going to need you to explain to me why I'm walking around taking pictures of just Jesse. I have pictures of us all together. If it's worth anything, I don't have any pictures of just Kenny either. But I have pictures of us all together, so I think they took one of our pictures, maybe from the baby shower or something, cropped us out. It's why you look at
so
the
grainy.
You look at the it's like this uber close up of Jesse because they're trying to crop our stupid asses side. Out of it.
I think that picture was from 2019. Seriously,
like his arms up and he's leaning to one side.
That's
like
terrific.
Out.
Oh, so good. It's so good. And then he kept getting acknowledgement throughout the meeting. And I could just look over just like, please stop. Just please, please stop this.
I hope they do like the old style oak, like placard.
Yeah, that's what it looks
with
like.
The gold nameplate.
Exactly what it looks like. I think we only have a digital version of that. I don't think there's an actual.
Oh, they're not going to hang it on the wall?
I don't think so.
Man.
If they do, I don't know where it's at in this building. But I think it's just the digital thing that they.
I think I'm
going to
make
month.
One now.
Oh, I'm with it. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll make one. And
I love that idea.
We'll do like a blurry picture of Jesse, like.
Super close up, too.
Like this, or the Sasquatch, like the shadow, like him walking, like. Like through blurry glass, we'll just shoot it right through the double panes here.
And it's just, is that Jesse or is that somebody else? Suspenseful music playing when you look at the plaque.
That's right.
Oh, good stuff, man. Good stuff. Congratulations to our guy Jesse, easily the most important person, a part of D'Lo and KC. Again, we're glad you're here with us. We got Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. You can watch the show if you'd like to on twitch.tv/ESPN1320, youtube.com/ESPN1320, and never miss a single second of the show by just downloading the Odyssey app on your smartphone and taking us everywhere with you. You can just put in your AirPods, earbuds, whatever you got, and play us in the background of meetings. You ain't paying attention to those meetings anyways. Pay attention to me and James. We've got you covered again. Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight from Boston. Gabe Vincent ruled out.
Oof, that's tough.
48 minutes of Kyle Lowry coming your way in a Game 5 situation for Miami. In a clinching situation for Miami. It's you know, Eric Spoelstra, you know, him, that's part of the reason I think this NBA Finals could be so compelling is these are two coaches that just truly don't give an F about what ESPN is talking about, Fox is talking about. They might point it out, as Michael Malone has, and as Eric Spoelstra responded to a question of how he feels about you know, being portrayed as an underdog in a series that they're up 3-1, and he responded with some expletives that I'll let you go out there and read for yourself. But it's very similar to things that we've heard from Michael Malone here in the last few weeks. But 8-point underdogs in Boston tonight. Gabe Vincent is out. And, you know, the belief is, Hammer, that the Celtics got a lot of momentum after that game one. The belief within that locker room clearly was they – you know, don't let us get one. Don't let us feel good about ourselves, essentially, is that message. Because obviously they were down in the dumps following game three. Game four, not only winning that game, but the way that they won that game has sent them back home with all the confidence in the world.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you wrestle away a 3-0 confidence lead for one team and just hand it to the other team.
It's crazy.
Oh, it's their turn now.
Yeah.
Now they get to win all the games.
But internally, I think they are confident.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've won a game. I'm pretty confident that they're going to win one more. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they'll win three more, but I think they've got another win in them. And then what does that look like? Do
yeah,
you build the confidence? It depends on how you win, right? Do you mow them down, or is it like you barely hold on? Or, you know, if you win at the buzzer and it's a neck-to-neck game, you can carry confidence. If you have a 12-point lead in the fourth quarter and they barely hold on to win, mm-hmm. again, now your confidence is shot. Like, confidence is a funny thing. And so, yeah, I don't know. Momentum. I remember, again, someone asked Paul Westfall about momentum years ago. And, you know, like, do you believe in momentum? He's like, hey, look, if I could figure out how to control momentum, I wouldn't be a basketball coach. I'd be, you know, doing something else and making a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like those are one of those things.
Jesse asked an interesting question that on the surface it's easy to answer, but when you dig a little deeper, you know, it's a fair question. Like, what happens if Boston wins tonight? And on the flip side, what happens if Miami wins tonight? Now,
we know what happens then.
Well, sort of. We know if Miami wins tonight. Obviously, Miami's going on to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
But the other side of that is, what happens with Boston?
You know what I'd like to do? How about we celebrate the Miami Heat for 12 hours, and then the next morning, if they want to fire someone, they can fire someone. If someone decides they may or may not want to retire, they can decide that the next day.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Stephen A. Ham.
I'm just saying, like, look, why at some point, why don't we let the team that is actually better and won, like, embrace the fact that they're going to the NBA Finals and salute them, as opposed to worrying about what might happen with the other team.
It's like, It's the crack epidemic that Trista was talking about.
Yeah.
That's what it is. ESPN has been peddling NBA crack for so long that
they know nothing else.
If you go too long without, I was getting cut this morning, and my barber Darren had on Fox Sports, and Cowherd comes on. Cowherd led his show with LeBron James. He led the show with LeBron James.
That's wild.
And it's like, wow, okay. And I to a certain degree, it's the question, I think I asked you this after Trista's snowfall analogy, is was the appetite there or was the appetite created? Is the appetite to consume everything LeBron James, or are you so accustomed to being fed LeBron James that if you feel like you go a day without hearing about it, or you go a day without talking about it, you start getting the withdrawal symptoms, and you're scratching and sweating.
They chased ratings in major markets. That's what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all they were doing. I mean, it would have been very easy to like highlight some dude from Indiana and push all the buttons on the guy from Indiana, and then next thing you know. You don't have any ratings because there's not enough people in Indiana to actually consume your product on that level. Mm. And so lowest common denominator stuff, like
that's,
the low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you'd hope that they would get past that. You know, they've done some good work outside of that. You know, the 30 for 30s, like some of the Race in America stuff. Like they have put some time and energy into actual quality programming. But
this is their specialty programming. Their day to day programming, with the I believe lone exception of Scott Van Pelt, is that low hanging fruit that you're talking about.
Yeah, I can tell you too. Like when I was at NBC, we started doing these documentary podcasts, right? And so we had like the Barrett Robbins podcast, which was spectacular. Like it was really well done. We had all this footage from when Barrett Robbins was in prison. Someone had gone and done an interview with him. The center for the Raiders that disappeared the night before mm-hmm. the Super Bowl. So we had all this stuff, but I was supposed to do an entire documentary on the 2002 Western Conference Finals. But then that wasn't enough. They didn't like that. That's just not enough of a topic. Like, and it's like, okay, but there was all this chaos and stuff. It's like, well, can you do something else? And I pitched them, okay, well, how about, it was right on the heels of Kobe passing. How about I do a documentary on the feeling of losing the villain in your NBA story? You know, go back to the 2002 Western Conference team and see how they feel about Kobe Bryant after his passing and what it's like to like go through a process of hating somebody on the court so much that you maybe not even gone back and made the connections again and, you know, kind of go through that. And it's like, oh, okay, that sounds great. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it hit the cutting room floor like super quick because it's like, okay, well, we decided we just don't really care that much about.
As you were explaining that, I was like, how did I never hear this podcast?
Yeah, because it got buried. I had done two interviews. I had got two interviews in and they were really good. They're hiding somewhere on my laptop. One with Scott Pollard, one with Doug Christie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to tell you
more. Oh, I bet
Doug's
was good.
It was going to be.
I bet Doug's was good.
Well, yeah, because I mean, like, you have to pitch a certain approach to mm-hmm. it, right? And mm-hmm. I think it's a really interesting thing. Like, how do you deal with loss when, you know, you have a bitter dislike for somebody? And there's like, I've told this story before. Doug's told this story before on the podcast. Like, there's bad blood. They never reconciled Doug and Kobe. And mm-hmm. it's something that really hurts Doug
mm-hmm.
that he never was able to reconcile. There was a point where Kobe had done a basketball camp, a mm-hmm. youth basketball camp in Seattle, and Doug brought Dougie to the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very typical for any time a pro player brings his son or daughter, you take pictures, you kind of do the whole, you know, like bring them into the family thing. And Kobe snubbed them.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was like talk about
that
still
really
wanting to fight
Doug.
Somebody. It
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
But then to lose him and then, you know, go through that whole process, just totally crazy. So I thought it would be like an interesting way to look at the passing of Kobe. And, you know, we probably would have set it up where it would go out on the 1 year anniversary or the 2 year anniversary of his passing. Mm-hmm. But again, it got buried.
Oh, man, that's unfortunate. We're just getting started. James and I are hanging out for the next 4 hours with you. If you want to be a part of the conversation, as always, we'd love to hear from you. 916-909-1320. It's D'Lo and KC with our ESPN 1320 Kings insider, James Hamm, sitting in for Kenny Caraway, brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, back to D'Lo and KC.
D'Lo and KC
on ESPN 1320.
Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight, the Boston Celtics, the Miami Heat. We mentioned Gabe Vincent is out. We mentioned the Heat are an 8-point underdog. Are you cackling at the chatty house?
Did you see the employee of the month that they put up on Twitter for Jesse?
Oh, my. No, got to go see this. Oh, we've got it's got to be Dr. David. There he is. There he is. Oh, we took the McDowell's Employee of the Month. That is a winner right there.
Good work.
Well done, Dr. David.
Good work.
Well done. The Employee of the Month, indeed. This week he's mopping floors. Next week it's the fries. And that's when the big bucks come rolling in.
That's amazing.
I'm so happy. That's one of the, like, the movies I went back and watched.
Oh, yeah. Coming to America is... It doesn't miss. I realized we did an episode, Corners of the Culture, available wherever you get podcasts from, on Arsenio Hall. And one of the first things I went back, you know, looking up, going to YouTube, pulling our Arsenio clips from the old Arsenio Hall show. And I just kept getting drawn to the Eddie Murphy and Magic Johnson ones. And, like, I love Eddie Murphy. Like, everyone kind of knows my love of, like, The Rock. Or Jay-Z or whatever. I really love Eddie Murphy. Like, from Beverly Hills Cop to Coming to America, Boomerang. Like, I have posters in this little area where I watch movies. Like, I realize I'm a huge Eddie Murphy fan.
I love Eddie Murphy. Like, 48 Hours. Like
Oh, 48 Hours is so good.
It's just incredible stuff. Like, he still looks the same. I wish he'd make more movies. And wasn't just roped into, like, weird Disney stuff at some point. You know?
I look at his house in Los Lagos, like...
Is he still there?
He's not, but the house is.
Okay.
They've been trying to sell the house for probably, like, over a decade. And I think the first time I looked at it, it was $13 million. Now you can have it, I think, for the low price of $8
million. Oh.
Of course, obviously, it's a beautiful house, but there's one picture that always makes me laugh because they're showing off a room, and if you zoom in, there's this wall, and it's a glass-shelved wall, but it's full of stuffed animals from Shrek. And so, like, you might not know, like, you could look at that house and not know that it's Eddie Murphy's house, but if someone tips off, hey, that house in Los Lagos was Eddie Murphy's.
Oh, yeah.
You can you can go through the pictures and see there's this one shelved wall with just a bunch of Shrek stuffed animals on it.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, for $8 million, I really hope the Shrek stuffed animals come with the house.
Yeah, better for that price. Like, how many movies did he make with Arsenio? Because he did Harlem Nights.
He did Harlem Nights. Yeah. Both come, obviously, he did
Two
Coming to America.
Shot me in the pinky toe.
Harlem Nights is so, so good. The tough thing about Harlem Nights was an ensemble cast before ensemble casts were a thing.
Oh, yeah, because Richard Pryor.
Oh, Red Fox is in it. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, yeah. Della Reese is in it. Like, everyone is in that movie. But to answer your question, off the top of my head, I can only think of three. The two Coming to America.
Yeah.
And then
Harlem Nights.
Harlem Nights. But Eddie did like the Arsenio Hall show a lot. Like, okay, he would just show up. There's a great episode where Eddie's talking to Arsenio and Michael Jackson just walks out. He just walks out, and Eddie didn't know he was there, and gives him, I think it's like an MTV Lifetime Achievement or some sort of MTV Movie Award. He gives him that right there on the Arsenio Hall show. It's terrific.
That's so crazy. Good. Yeah. We need more of those guys, and not Coming to America. I mean, that was the second one was just.
Yeah, the second one was tough.
That was rough.
Second one was tough. I tried to watch it a second time thinking I wasn't fair the first time. I was fair. It wasn't good.
Yeah. But I could do, like, people ask Corners of the Culture. I could do, like, a bunch of, like, movie talk with you on.
Oh, yeah. You're a movie guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely a movie guy.
I've watched, like, almost every. I mean, I already started your Snow.
Snowfall. Oh, Snowfall. So you did. So how many episodes of Snowfall are you in?
I watched the pilot and I halfway through the first one. So
okay,
I'm halfway through the second episode.
Okay,
I started watching last night. I'll probably bust through it this weekend. And
it's a great series.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first part. Like, you're kind of confused where it's going. Mm-hmm. You know, clearly he goes and he's got the coke now, and he's got the kilo, and then he sells the kilo, and you're like, uh-oh, what's happening here? And then the other guy with the whole, like, giant hot tub filled with.
Oh, you got that guy, yep.
Yep, yep. So you're wondering, like, how all these pieces fit together, but it's intriguing so far.
It can be tough getting through pilots for shows that you hear, like, oh, these shows are so good, they're so good, they're so good. Oftentimes you've got to get through the pilot and you've got to get through like maybe a few episodes because they're setting up the story. And sometimes like I remember because I got to Breaking Bad late.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Breaking Bad started slow and I'm like, yo, this is the show y'all are talking about?
It
like,
did, but
how long do I have to tough this thing out? And then once you get through, and I don't remember how many episodes it was like, oh, boy.
Scene where he runs the guy over trying to save Jesse. So that's the big one. That captures you where you're like, okay, I got to watch this thing from here on out. Mm-hmm. But I think it's the first episode, there's a moment where the sun starts to go off on him. And that, to me, it was such a great, like, job of, like, bringing you in and, like, the frustration of the sun and him not being honest with his family and stuff. So I don't know. I dig it. I watch way too much like TV. I've seen everything that you could possibly like.
Great shows have definitive moments like that.
Yeah.
Like moments where you're still kind of like piecing everything together and then something happens and you realize, oh, I have to watch this show till it's over. Like,
yeah.
I have to see every single episode of this show moving forward.
It's funny. Both Sean and I worked at video stores when we were young. So I worked at a video store in Grass Valley for like a year, and Sean worked at, I want to say it's either Hollywood or Blockbuster. I can't remember which. But when you work, I mean, you just watch so many movies. Like, I've seen a ton of black and whites. Like, I've gone through just about every genre movie that you can possibly watch.
Yeah, that shows. Anytime we bring a movie up, you've seen it. Yeah, you're a movie guy. You're a cinema guy for sure. So tune in next week when James Hamm co-hosts Corners of the Culture.
There it is.
Available wherever you get podcasts from. We mentioned this yesterday. We actually you made a remark yesterday that I bookmarked and was like, "Oh, I think we've got to dive into this a little bit further." We were No surprise. We were talking about Sacramento. I think it started with Denver. It started with a Denver Nuggets conversation, and then it kind of got to Sacramento. And then we started talking about, you just quickly mentioned some of the other teams in the Western Conference. And it seems like to me, we you know, everyone says, you know, the West is going to be different this year. People are going to be healthier. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And when you really break down the Western Conference, with perhaps two exceptions, the Denver Nuggets and the Sacramento Kings, it feels like a lot of those other teams could be in the very same position. Like the Kings are, you know, I believe someone at 95.7 The Game once dubbed the Sacramento Kings the weakest three seed in history. And it's like, okay, hey, do you. But are the Lakers going to be better than a 48 wins next year? The Warriors, the Clippers. Like, you can look at their roster and go, yeah, yeah, of course they are. But these type, you know, things always come up with teams like that. LeBron, 38 years old. I'm of the belief LeBron James is playing next year. LeBron James, he's going to turn 39 in December.
Yeah.
He's not playing 82 games again. That's not happening. We've been over this with Kevin Durant a million times. He's not playing 82 games anymore. I don't know what Kawhi Leonard is playing moving forward.
I don't know if you can get 50 out of Kawhi.
I don't either.
I don't, and what about Paul George? I don't know if you can get 50 out of him.
I don't know.
I mean, if you're really putting all your eggs in the Russell Westbrook coming back and saving our franchise basket, that tells you a lot about where you're at as a franchise.
Don't like your tone.
I'm just saying, like, but at his age, you can't act that way. Just his age, but his efficiency, the way, like, his numbers still look like one thing, but his impact on the game feels like something different.
Russell Westbrook, I think, really works with the Los Angeles Clippers to a high level of success if Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are there. If they're not, it's completely different because you're relying on Russell Westbrook to do things you probably don't want to rely on him to do anymore. And
it's very true.
The second you lose one of those guys and Russell Westbrook goes from scoring option number three or perhaps even number four to scoring option number two, or as he was in the playoffs, he was scoring option number one, two, and three.
Yep.
That's going to be a problem. But everyone operates when talking about next year. And again, this could absolutely be true for Sacramento. It could be true for Denver, too. But we operate in this, like, utopia mindset where the Clippers roster is still good. They're gonna be back. Okay, so everything's going perfect for them. The Los Angeles Lakers, we saw what they did since the trade deadline. That was literally a span of 2 months, 3 months?
Yeah.
They're going to do that. So we're stretching that out to an entire 82. There's no pitfalls here in an 82-game season for this new version of the Los Angeles Lakers, which, by the way, as of right now, or at least as of July 1st, they won't be back in this. They probably won't be back in the same exact makeup.
No, there's no way for them to be back in the same makeup. I mean, we're talking about like...
Because we talk about Rui and Austin Reeves. I always forget D'Angelo Russell's not under contract next year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think Dennis Schroeder's under contract.
Nope.
Malik Beasley, I don't think, is under contract. Like, you got some holes that you're going to have to fill. And then all this talk, oh, they can still fit Kyrie in as long as Kyrie doesn't take the max. And they can fit him in and add Austin Reeves and keep Rui Hachimura. Like, okay... Where's the rest of the team? Because this is what you keep doing. And, you know, like I think one of the discussions this morning was you've got to find a player that takes the pressure off of LeBron James from being a number one option. Like, okay, so wait a sec. So what you're saying, let me get this. What you're saying is you're going to replace the NBA's all-time leading scorer and one of the greatest players to ever play the game. You need someone who's going to be better than him and Anthony Davis because they're not – adding Anthony Davis as that potential person.
Well, that which in and of itself is a problem. That's need someone to lessen the load on LeBron James. Great. Isn't that what you got the dude from the Pelicans for? Isn't that literally why you got Anthony Davis?
Yeah.
Was to lessen the load on LeBron James. Meanwhile, in a series deciding game, LeBron James out there going for 40.
Well, no, he had to go for 40 and they still lost.
Right.
I mean, that's the right. problem that they're facing, is that they don't have that other person, and they don't have the shooting. They don't even have the right recipe of players right now. You know, again, a guy like Lonnie Walker, like, shows up in the playoffs. Lonnie Walker's a free agent. Like, mm-hmm. they don't even have some of the guys that you don't even think of as core pieces. They don't even have most of those guys under contract. And so, like, they're going to have a bit of a problem here. And I think that's the discussion that we're having. It's like, if you go down, Denver is the one team. They're locked up. Most of their players, most of their rotation is under contract next season. Certainly all of their big players. You get to Memphis, you're like, okay, that's not good. I don't know what to make of that. Not only is Ja Morant potentially suspended for anywhere from, you know, 10 games to the season to, you know, maybe 40, maybe 25. Like, we have no idea, but he's out. Steven Adams couldn't get his knee right. They did PRP, and they were trying to figure out a way to get him back on the court and had to shut him down for the playoffs. Mm. Who knows if Steven Adams will ever be the same?
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Clark tore his Achilles. Yep. He's done
yep.
for at least half the season coming up.
At least.
So we're looking at, like, there's Memphis. You just check them as, like, a major question mark team. We get to Phoenix, the four seed. Skip over the Sacramento Kings, but Phoenix, the four seed, fired Monty Williams. They've got the whole situation with what they're going to do with Ayton, or what they're going to do with Chris Paul in the backcourt. Do they trade him? They're going to keep him under contract. They still don't have the depth. They just lost with some of these pieces. Sure, Chris Paul got hurt, but we're now counting on 38-year-old Chris Paul to come back and save your bacon and somehow get you over the top. And so you just keep going down the list. You got the Clippers with the Kawhi Leonard and
Paul George
situation, and then add in the Russell Westbrook free agency question. Like, what are they going to have to pay him? They can go over the cap and do all kinds of crazy stuff, but still.
There is a interesting note on the Clippers. I put it somewhere in our notes, but it's worth pointing out. Michael Winger
mm-hmm.
was their general manager. He left the Clippers.
Is he their GM or is he their president of basketball ops?
I think he was the GM.
Okay.
And he left to he left to go run the Wizards. He's running the Wizards, the Go-Go, the G League squad, and the Mystics. He's running all three of those teams. Towards the end of the Kings-Warriors series, we heard from some pretty trustworthy people that if Bob Myers were in the NBA, and there is a, you know, that's a big question of whether he's going to stay in the NBA, or there's going to be a bidding war between the Los Angeles Clippers and the Phoenix Suns for the services of Bob Myers.
Okay.
And with that position now vacant, and as you mentioned, basketball, the org chart for basketball teams is not universal.
No.
It's like different across the board. But the general manager position in Los Angeles for the Clippers is open. And in Phoenix, we know that they just created a position above James Jones. And we know that, and they've hired someone for that position, but we also know they have a strong, strong interest should Bob Myers become available in a few weeks. And reports were this morning, I think Bob Myers is due to speak to the media next week in San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, so just listening when I was down and around the Bay Area, they're talking about, like, if there is an owner that's, if Bob Myers decides that, or they can't mutually come to an agreement, him and the Warriors, that the Clippers are the one team that you're looking at that could throw like $15 million a year at the guy, maybe even more, because, you know, Steve Ballmer has all the monies.
Yeah,
that's not even like he wastes more money building Zooms than that, you know, like the little crappy audio capture devices.
Oh, good job there.
Yeah, so Zoomies or whatever,
He's got a warehouse full of them.
The thing that lost to the iPad, the iPod, whatever it was.
Lost bad.
Yeah, lost badly. So I think that that's one place that he can go. But again, we're talking about like organizational changes. And I think it's interesting. I want to go back to a point you just made right there. You said, you know, every organization is kind of different, the structure. Mm-hmm. And I know some people, like in my timeline on Twitter, they're arguing whether the Kings, when they lost Luke Bourne, who is head of analytics, who was a VP of analytics for the Kings, that they didn't replace him. Like, yeah, they've replaced him. They just don't have a VP of analytics. And it goes back to your comment about, you know, every organization calls things different. They have different structure than other organizations. You know, it's why, like, Monty McNair is the general manager and Wes Wilcox is the assistant general manager. But Monty also oversees a lot of the analytics side. He has a whole team of people there. They have a whole little, like, cubicle office in the practice facility. Like, I've seen them up there. I say hello to them when I go upstairs. So there are people there that do the same stuff that Luke did and that worked under Luke. Some of them worked under Luke. But just because they didn't replace a VP doesn't mean really anything. It's just a different structural, you know, change. And Lawrence Frank is still in with the Clippers, but mm-hmm. I don't know what that would mean for Lawrence Frank mm-hmm. either. And, you know, he's still an executive. I don't know what his title is. I could look it up, but yeah.
I feel like if you're bringing Bob Myers in, you're bringing Bob Myers in for whatever the highest position available in your organization.
Oh, he's running the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah. And Jerry West is still a consultant there. And so, like, there would be a tie there for him to go and work with Jerry West if Bob Myers does, you know, decide to do that. But I think it just goes back to the bigger discussion that we're having. Phoenix has all kinds of question marks. The Clippers have so many question marks. The Warriors, we're not sure Bob Myers is coming back. They flamed out in the second round, and, like, their mix of players is bad. You don't know if Draymond's coming back. You don't know if they're going to move Jordan Poole. You don't know if they're going to pay Klay Thompson. There's all of these question marks with them. And either way, they just lost a year of their careers. They just got older. And as you keep going down the list, you know, Minnesota, all kinds of questions there. The Pelicans, like, what's going to happen with Zion? Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of question marks.
Yeah, the Warriors are another really interesting one because I've always been of the belief that they're not, like, done. Their championship run might be done. Their championship window might be closed, but I don't see them as a 30-win team next year. But also what I don't see is them a 50-win team next year. Because if the, you know, there's a belief, you know, Steve Kerr will tell you this, despite the fact immediately after losing, Steve Kerr says this team is maxed out. Those were the words of the head coach. After some time to cool down, he sang the praises of everyone on the roster, from Jordan Poole to Draymond Green. And I get you do that stuff publicly, but when you say this team is maxed out, and you go on to talk about Jordan Poole and Draymond Green and how important all those guys are, it's like, well, where is the change coming? Because if the change isn't coming, we know Steph is firmly cemented in his spot. But if there's no change coming with Klay, and there's no change coming with Draymond Green, and you've got this foundational six, as Steve Kerr coins it, with Jordan Poole, then I need someone to explain to me how they're not, again, a 43-44 win team.
I totally agree. And even their young players are not.
They got to be frustrated.
Well, they're not worth anything, though, on the open market. Like, someone would gamble on Kuminga. Someone would gamble on Moses Moody.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about, like, a Sacramento Kings gamble. And even that, I'm not even sure if the Kings would give up the 24th pick in the draft for either one of those guys. I don't think they would. Like, it's those, they're diminished products. Like, you had a brand new car that was, what, the seventh pick in the draft, Kuminga. At this point, he's worth like 40% of what he was as opposed to when he was a draft pick. Like, could he become, like, get back up to, like, a top end?
Well,
maybe.
To stick with that analogy, you know, the car depreciates the second it leaves the lot, and you only drove it like 50 miles.
Yeah.
And it's a nice car. But you're not going to get, but at least you think it's a nice car.
Well, you're not sure if it's a nice car. It looks good, but does it start?
Well,
it looks good, but are the brakes shot? Like,
why aren't you driving this car?
Yeah. There's a question mark as to why. And the fact is that he's not good enough to fit into your rotation when you had holes in your rotation as a Golden State Warriors. He was not good enough, especially in the playoffs. We're talking Kuminga, and even you can throw Moody in the same thing. I think Moody had some moments, But again, these are players that you did not walk into the playoffs saying, okay, 25, 30 minutes, we're slating for these players. Even though you had that need for those players, you didn't use them that way because you didn't think that they were good enough. So who are they good enough for? Do they have to go to the Detroit Pistons where all, you know, like the misfit toys go? Mm-hmm. Like, does he have to go somewhere else and start to build back up in a different way? Do you send him to the Houston Rockets? That's kind of where they have to go to rebuild themselves and to try to establish themselves as NBA players. Because at this point, Kuminga, Moody, they're closer to out of the league than they are to being an asset. That's just the nature of the game. Like, every single season, 60 players get drafted and 35, 40 of them make NBA rosters, and that many players that were in the league before or are no longer in the league. Mm-hmm. And that's just the nature of the game.
Yeah, and it's hard to figure out how they're going to build their value up or become, you know, complementary players or something greater in your current setup. And that's what leaves me the most concerned about the Warriors. If we're not talking Klay and we're not talking Draymond and we're not talking Jordan Poole, then I don't think we have anything to talk about.
Yeah.
I'll see you guys right back around the same spot that you were. And again, they beat Sacramento in the playoffs. They could do it again. They could not. But part of what started all of this was the fact that Sacramento, and you noted yesterday, there's going to be changeover. There's just the way this, you know, barring them signing everybody back, which I don't think is happening, there's going to be changeover in the roster. But the core, or the core, if you will, of the roster is remaining the same. And with some of these other teams that we're talking about, the Clippers, the Suns, the Lakers, the Warriors, even if their cores stay the same, they have so many question marks. Your only question about Sacramento is, can they do that again? And there's no reason to believe that they can't unless you're not familiar with this group and all you see is the name on the jersey. The name on the jersey is the only reason you won't buy into them.
I guess. I mean, the one thing I will say, Sacramento does have a huge hole to fill if Harrison Barnes isn't back. Like, that, whether people love Harrison or they don't, it doesn't matter. He's a guy who played 31, 32 minutes a game. He's 30 years old. You counted on him to be your 3 and your 4 all season long. He's a free agent. Like, do I think they can bring him back? Sure. Do I think that you can offset some of his loss with the 24th pick and Sasha Vezenkov? Sure. Do I think Kessler Edwards can step up and maybe eat some of that time? Okay. So, like, but you are losing a piece, and you don't have, you've got to find a way to replace that piece, or at least you potentially are losing that piece. Harrison Barnes could be back. Mm-hmm. But that, my point is that would be the only real question mark. Outside of that, you assume that De'Aaron Fox, Monk, Herter, Davion Mitchell are all going to be the same or equal to or better than they were last year. You know that Keegan Murray is going to be better than he was last year. Domantas Sabonis is not going to fall apart. Like, you have some holes to fill, and a lot of them. Like, I look at their roster. I can get Harrison Barnes, right? After we get Trey Lyles, Chimezie Metu, Terrence Davis, Matthew Dellavedova's gone, Alex Len, Kessler Edwards is not, they have a team option for next season. PJ Dozier, that's 8 roster spots that are either restricted or unrestricted free agents or are potential changes. That's more than half your roster, your standard roster. 1, 2, 3 of those guys probably coming back, but it's possible all 8 don't. Hmm. And that means that we're talking about 60% of the roster is getting turned over, 55% of the roster. That's a lot. The core is still in place, though. The core that you're starting, basically 4 of your starting 5, your 6-man, your 7-man, they're all back. Most of your rotation. You have 2 question marks in your rotation of whether they're coming back or not. That's not hard to fill.
This conversation is far from over. We'll continue it when D'Lo and KC with our ESPN 1320 Kings insider James Hamm returns here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC continues, streaming live on the Odyssey app.
You might as well bring that question to the air. I'm sure a lot of people are curious. Secure and the Beam was asking you about youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. You can check out the Facebook feed as well if you want to jump in the chatty house. Secure and the Beam was asking you about Harrison Barnes' potential contract.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're looking at a three-year contract. He will be 31 this coming season. He's 30 right now. I can't remember when his birthday is. May 30th, he will be 31. If you can get Harrison Barnes, he just turned. Yeah,
you said May 30th, right? It's May 25th. Yeah, it'll be 31 in a couple days.
In 5 days. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like at 31. So if you get him for his 31, 32, 33 season. That's fine. That's a three-year contract. I don't know that I'm doing four, but I think you're looking – again, I think it varies. We're seeing, for instance, that Hart is looking at a starting salary extension with the Knicks at $18 million a year is what the number was this morning. That could be an agent throwing that out there, so it could be like when – we heard that Rashawn Holmes was going to get $18 to $20 million a year and did not get $18 to $20 million a year.
He did not get that.
He did not get that. So, but if you look at Hart as sort of a comp, and I don't think that that's that far off. I think Harrison Barnes in most NBA circles might even have more value than Hart. Like fit wise, I think Hart might fit better with what the Kings are doing moving forward. But I think we're looking at like a 3 year, like 43 or 42. But the problem is that when you start talking about like $14 million a year salary, the mid-level exception is over $12 million. So a mid-level is going to be like a three-year 38. That's not that much different. So if you look at tax, you know, state tax, or you look at like a bunch of other things like cost of living in, you know, Dallas versus living in Sacramento, it's like totally different. So I could see him looking at those as comparable salaries. And that's when you start, if you get to MLE money, that means that like 20-something teams in the league have sort of the wherewithal to sign you as without like going into raw cap space. So very few teams have cap space this summer, but most of those teams have mid-level exceptions. So what you don't want to do is get into that range with Harrison. You probably want to be a little bit higher than that. So then that way he's actually, you know, making more than the mid-level. And you're not competing with a bunch of other teams.
Yeah, and you brought up before, too, we don't know if salary is the most important thing for Harrison Barnes at this point.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that, like, he would like one more really solid payday.
Mm-hmm.
But 30-something million bucks, I mean, after taxes in California, you're still looking at $18 million over 3 years or something, maybe $20 million bucks.
It could depend on the discrepancy. Like, if he has multiple offers, it could depend on the difference between those offers and Sacramento's.
Well, yeah, that and, like, you also have to keep in mind that if there is a team that out there that has a player that the Kings would like, it doesn't have to be the same exact contract that Barnes has. You have some leeway because if Barnes isn't on your roster, you do have cap space. So you could trade. So if someone wants to do a sign-in trade with Harrison, they want to offer $15 million a year. Like, you have cap space in that situation. So you could take back a $6 million or an $8 million player instead of having to go with like the full $15 million or the 20% up or down of $15 million. So you don't have to be in that $12 to $18 million range. You can take a lower paying player because you have cap space, or I guess it would depend on what the other team is doing as well, but what their cap space situation looks like.
I hope this question makes sense. It makes perfect sense in my head. Should a sign and trade situation with Harrison come up or be a conversation? Are you trading your MLE?
Mm-mm.
You're not.
No. You don't trade your MLE. Your MLE, no. So if you sign and trade Harrison Barnes, first of all, you have bird rights to Barnes, and he has that crazy cap hold to $27.5 million.
Right.
Right. So if you're going to sign and trade him, it would be to a team that likely either has a player that they want to trade and that you have interest in, or it's a team that they want to pay, or he wants more than the mid-level exception.
Sure.
Right? So you can trade him to a team that has cap space, or you can trade him to a team that has a player that's in the salary range. But like, or you could do a much bigger deal where you sign and trade Harrison Barnes, but as part of a deal that includes Rashawn Holmes and for a much bigger player, like $30 million player, or John Collins. There's all of these things that you could do. So, but it's going to get a little dicey for Harrison, because if he's just going out in free agency, he's probably not going to be such a high priority for a certain team that, like, they're going to spend $15 million or $18 million around cap space. So then he's either going to be looking at the mid-level, or he's going to talk to the Kings about a sign-and-trade, and then he has to work with the Kings, because the Kings might not want to sign-and-trade him. They might not look at the assets that the other team has as something that's attractive to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing if, you know, Harrison Barnes is willing to go to Toronto on a sign-and-trade, and you can get OG Anunoby back with some sort of package of picks and stuff like that. That's one thing. But that means that Harrison Barnes would want to go to wherever you're talking about.
Right.
And I think he's at a point in his career where, again, he could choose where to go. But he's also an NBA player who understands that change is inevitable. Like, you could get traded to the Philadelphia 76ers tomorrow, and you got to figure out a way to live in Philadelphia for a year or 3 years or whatever. Like, that's the name of the game. It's just, when he's a free agent, he kind of gets to say yes and no to those things.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.